There is paradox at work in John chapter 10. Paradox, when two things are logically contradictory to each other, and yet both seem to be true at the same time. Like the liar paradox, for example. If I say, I always lie, in order for that statement to be true, it must be false. Or there's the Hegel paradox, which says that man learns from history, that man learns nothing from history. Paradox, two seemingly contradictory truths held in tension with one another. Lutherans live and die by paradox. Paradox like the polarity of law and gospel, the two kingdoms, the two kinds of righteousness, Christ as true God and true man, the Christian as simul justus et peccator, at once saint and sinner. There are two important principles at work in paradox. The first is that there is always some overarching principle or being which stands at the center and holds the paradox together in tension. And of course, for paradoxes of the Christian faith, it is Christ standing at the center, maintaining that tension, holding it all together. The second principle is that if you lose even one part of the paradox, you lose the whole paradox. Once half the equation is gone, the tension is gone, and the whole thing unravels. Take law from law and gospel, you lose both. Take peccator from simul justus et peccator, you lose both. And worse, you lose that which is central to it. You lose Jesus Christ. In our text this morning from John chapter 10, Jesus is in the midst of showing the Pharisees that they have made just such a blunder. That they have forgotten their leadership of Israel is to be a paradoxical servant leadership. They have forgotten the paradox that they are shepherds and sheep. This discourse of Jesus, which we all have come to know and love, comes on the heels of a heated debate between Jesus and the Pharisees over the healing of the man born blind in chapter 9. And Jesus here is showing the Pharisees not to be the shepherds that they claim to be, but thieves and robbers who kill and destroy, or mere hirelings who care nothing for the sheep. Jesus' harsh rebuke here condemns them as failures, as false shepherds. And in so doing, he conjures up for us images straight out of Ezekiel 34, where Yahweh himself condemns the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding and clothing themselves at the expense of the sheep which have been entrusted to their care. False shepherds who have failed to strengthen the weak, failed to heal the sick, failed to bind up the wounded, failed to recover the lost, and failed in every way, and instead have ruled the sheep with force and harshness. Such false shepherds are nothing new in Israel's history. Just open up Kings or Chronicles and you will find them everywhere, in kings such as Rehoboam, Ahaziah, Ahaz, and Manasseh. And the list goes on. And even David, whom Yahweh declares to be a man after his own heart, even David forgets that he is paradox, that he is both shepherd and sheep. And far from being that paradoxical servant leader he is called to be. As we see in 2 Samuel 11, he chooses to use his authority to kill and destroy in the name of sinful lust. Kings of Israel who forgot who they were, servant leaders, shepherds and sheep. Kings of Israel who forgot half of the paradox. And the whole thing unravels. And the flock was scattered. Israel would lose everything. The Pharisees are experts on this stuff, on the history of their people. They know the stories of David, of Rehoboam, of Ahaz, and Manasseh, but they have fallen prey to Hegel's paradox in that they have learned nothing from their own history. More critical to their folly is that they have, like David and other kings who came after him, they have lost the paradox which makes up their identity under God. Caring nothing for the sheep, their focus is on themselves as shepherds, on their leadership, on their authority. They have forgotten that they are also sheep. They have lost half the paradox, and the whole thing has unraveled. They have made themselves mere hirelings. Caring nothing for their sheep, their flock under their care has been scattered. The paradox of shepherd and sheep is one that we here, as pastors and future pastors, share with the Pharisees. The question for us, then, is what happens in those times when we forget, when we lose half of the paradox? What will happen to us at those times when we are so focused upon ourselves and our ministry, on our authority, that we forget the paradox of who we are, sheep and shepherds? And there are two sides of this paradox to be lost. If we forget that we are sheep, we get out there in the parish equipped with all of this knowledge of theology and practice, and with that theological and pastoral air about us, we succumb to the temptation to lord our shepherdly authority over our flock. And if we forget that we are shepherds, we sheepishly shy away from conflict. When things get too hot and too uncomfortable, we avoid, we ignore. We do things like give communicant transfers. We run away. And the flock which has been entrusted to us is left to the wolves. We are shepherds and sheep. Take your pick. You forget your sheep, you lose the paradox. You forget your shepherd, you lose the paradox. And everything unravels, and the flocks scatter. And the words of Ezekiel 34 come pouring down on us. As pastors, we on our own fail to strengthen the weak. We fail to heal the sick. We fail to bind up the wounded. We fail to recover the lost. And we will try to rule the sheep with force and harshness, because so often we forget who we are. We are shepherds and sheep. At the center of this paradox stands Christ. We lose half the paradox. We lose Jesus Christ. We lose everything. All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. Isaiah's prophecy wasn't just meant for those in his day. It is meant for you and I right now, today. So it's a foregone conclusion that you and I are going out there, and that you and I as shepherds will fail, as sure as sheep we stray. So what happens when a shepherd goes astray? What happens when I as a pastor can't hold these things in tension? What happens when I lose the paradox? How do I get it back? Maybe I'm just not cut out for this. I mean, why go out there if I'm just going to fail? Maybe I don't belong there. Listen to more words from Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost, bring back the strayed, bind up the wounded, and strengthen the weak. So the answer is right there. The answer has been there all along. The paradox of the sheep and shepherd is not held together by you or by me. It is held together by Christ, who stands in the center, always stands in the center. Christ, who is our shepherd, our good shepherd. And here in John chapter 10, Christ's words reveal the fulfillment of Yahweh's promises to his sheep in Ezekiel 34. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is no ordinary shepherd. In Palestine in 1st century AD, a shepherd would certainly go after strays, certainly tend the wounded, but no shepherd would ever purposefully lose his life for the sake of stray sheep. Out in the open country, the loss of a shepherd left his sheep exposed to all manner of danger. And so in 1st century AD Palestine, the death of the shepherd meant death for the sheep. So what is this paradox that Jesus throws at us here? The shepherd laying down his life for the sheep? Indeed, Christ himself is the ultimate paradox of shepherd and sheep, as the good shepherd himself becomes a sheep. In the words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, who for the sake of the sheep marches headlong into the fray and throws himself into the fury of the wolves, who would otherwise devour you and I, his flock. Flesh is pierced, blood is spilled, and this paradoxical good shepherd Lamb of God is the final sacrifice. Paradox of paradoxes, the good shepherd dies and brings life to his sheep. And this same good shepherd who has the authority to lay down his life also has the authority to take it up again. Christ rising in victory, the wolves are once and for all vanquished. Tomorrow, from this altar, which not coincidentally bears the symbol of the victorious Lamb, we will receive his supper, which is the foretaste of the marriage feast of the Lamb of God, the feast of victory for our God. Just as we do as sheep, as shepherds, we will fail. But Yahweh in Ezekiel 34 promises that he will take the role as shepherd of his flock. And in John 10, Jesus declares himself the fulfillment of that promise. I am the good shepherd, he says. And in John 20, 21, Jesus the good shepherd says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As sheep who also happen to be shepherds, in Christ we are. You and I have the privilege of proclaiming the word of God and administering his sacraments. And in Christ, we strengthen the weak. In Christ, we heal the sick. In Christ, we bind up the wounded. And in Christ, we recover the lost. Shepherds of God's flock, and yet also we are sheep. A paradox, to be sure. Two ordinarily conflicting truths held together in tension by Christ, who is at the center, by Christ, who has gained for us everything. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.